Hey everybody, welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if you're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm getting tired of? Take a guess.
Political texts, yes. Asking for your money.
No. I've been tired of those for a while.
Oh.
Man, I don't understand how people can be so mad about what's going on and then just be negative day after day after day after fucking day. I'm already tired of it.
Yeah.
It's been 100 days, man.
Yeah.
Shit's changing. Shit's getting better. I'm so tired of seeing all the negativity constantly. It's wearing on me, dude.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me mad that people have opinions. It makes me mad that I have to see it constantly over and over again.
Right. That's why I left that group.
Dude, I'm just sick of it.
Mafia group.
I'm sick of it, man.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the crotchety old man that has no friends and moves to the lake because he's just trying to get away from everyone. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Sound like a bad idea.
But man, like, at what point is my sanity more important than being where I want to be at?
Right.
It's just crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Dustin, my buddy Dustin Rose is in town.
Mm-hmm.
He's
grandpa today.
Yeah. Yeah, for a couple days now.
Yeah.
But him and I were talking, he's staying at my house. We were just talking about this. I told him, I said, you know, I always thought when old people move to the lake or down in Florida where there's no one around or in the boonies that they were just like crotchety old weirdos. No, it's because they're just sick of everyone's shit.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going somewhere where there's not as many dip fucks.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. He's like, you're 100% right.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Just crazy, dude. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. That's
no good answers. No good advice for me.
Ironically,
what should I do? Get off of social media?
That's similar. That's in a roundabout way of what we're going to talk about today.
What do you want to talk about?
We're talking about setting boundaries that are for your overall health.
Is this me setting boundaries against you?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes it's setting boundaries for how much political bullshit you got to see on social media.
God.
Right? You can unfollow people. You can hide them for 30 days. You can just unfriend them.
Well, and that's the thing. I've said this a lot on the show. I like to hear other people's viewpoints
mm-hmm.
and understand what they're, you know, talking about, what they're feeling and everything, so I can kind of grasp, you know, what's going on. But if it's just constantly being beat over the head with a hammer and seeing the same shit, it's like, no wonder I'm going to just, these people create these little circles and they never get anyone else's outside opinion because they just can't mentally handle it anymore.
Yeah.
They're just tired of it.
I've got that buddy of mine that texted me out of the blue just a couple days ago, and he was like, hey, I haven't heard anything from you on how Trump and Elon are doing. You haven't been posting about it lately. And
he
I'm like,
literally just out of the blues tried to start a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he sends me a couple of articles where obviously they're biased towards the left about like how abysmal Trump's first 100 days are and all this stuff. And it's like, well, I mean, just imagine if he didn't have like the whole legal system working against him.
Yeah.
Because that's the joke now is like Trump bans, you know, Red 40 and like the dyes, right?
Yeah.
And so the joke now is like federal judge overturns the dye ban and forces everybody to eat dyes, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Trump will do something and it's always getting overturned by a federal judge. And it's like, yeah, they've weaponized the legal system against him.
Yeah. They know that's their one little spot where they can.
But then they lie to you and they act like they haven't done that. And they'll be like, well, it's just, you know, the Constitution that he's in violation of.
No. Yeah, and you know what's the dumbest part of it is if Kennedy would have run for Democrat, like instead of Kamala,
mm-hmm.
and he would have got elected, he'd be doing all of these same things, and they'd be like, oh, yeah.
Right.
There'd be a gold statue already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how can you let your hatred for one person destroy the overall health and wealth of this country just because you're a fucking idiot?
Right. Right.
What are you doing, man?
That's the whole flip-flop thing on immigration, because all those people crying for immigration, or crying that immigration is, the deportations are bad now.
Yeah.
Those are the same people that were like, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
They were like, no, they got to go.
They're taking low-paying jobs, and we have people on welfare that could be getting those jobs and doing them.
Right.
But they're letting illegals have those jobs.
And now they're like, we need due process for every single one of them.
First off, due process is only if you're a citizen.
Yeah.
If you're not a citizen, you don't have the right to due process.
I think
that's the Constitution.
I think it was Senator Kennedy. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, he's been in front of 13 judges. Like, how much more due process does the guy need?
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about 13, man?
The MS-13 gang member. Yeah.
People will literally just scream and yell at the top of their lungs.
I haven't stood in front of 13 judges in my entire life.
I'm counting. Give me a second. No, I'm not to 13.
I'm probably like 5.
I was going to say, I think I'm at like 7 or 8, maybe. Yeah. And it's for piddly shit, you know?
Yeah.
Traffic tickets.
I'm talking total. Not even me as the...
Yeah.
The...
Oh, you're talking even like...
Defendant. Like,
you're talking as a witness and everything.
Well, yeah. Like total times in a courtroom in front of a judge. I mean, we got threatened. Like, we got like a small claims court sued.
You guys did?
15 years ago. No, the company I worked for did.
Oh, okay. And, oh, the broken stop?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you. I was like, no, you haven't.
I'm even counting that.
So. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
People just... They need to calm down.
Yeah.
They just need to calm down.
They need to calm down, and they need to realize just how, like... I mean, it's the same people that will let the outcome of a football game on Sunday determine their mood for the next week.
Yeah.
Like, watch it for the enjoyment, but don't let it impact your mood.
Like, it bums me out at night, but then I'm fine. By the time I go to bed, I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, here we are 100 days in. My life hadn't changed all that much.
Mine has. I made a ton more money.
I like...
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong. I like Trump, but like... I haven't.
Yeah.
The president doesn't impact your day-to-day life as much as you think they do.
No.
So.
Well, I will say this. They do if you allow them to.
Oh, yes.
And you live in hatred and confusion because you just accept to realize that it's not that bad.
Yeah. And I think as what you're seeing a lot right now is you're watching people that are heavy into politics and allow politics guide their emotions. You're watching them kind of crumble in their personal lives a little bit, too.
Yeah,
I can see a lot of those people that were heavy into politics, heavy, and you watch them in their personal life, and they're struggling hard right now.
Yeah.
So,
like, their
depressions and, yeah, emotions.
Well, their emotions get up, and then their emotions dictate how they act, and they fight with their spouse, and they fight with their kids, and they get fired, and, it's just like you literally are letting what the media says to you about how you should feel in politics ruin your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like exactly. When we talk about manipulation and they're trying to keep us separate for a reason, that's why.
Right.
So that you'll feel bad and put in power who they want in power.
Yep.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
Nuts.
How big that chasm can get when you really want to look at it.
I saw a meme the other day. I wanted to do our own, and maybe we still will. It was I don't. I couldn't tell from the photo. Is why I say that.
Person.
I don't know. I just couldn't tell. It was like Pat from Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
I just couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Purple hair, holding a sign. We want civil war. Blah 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 blah. and then the next photo. If I find it, I'll send it to you. Was like two super ripped dudes that weren't like real good looking. They were like average guys from Missouri. And they had no shirts on and two ARs. And they're like,
all right,
anytime, but this is what you're going up against.
Right.
And I was like, ugh, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
Like, why would you hold a sign like that?
I don't know.
What is the matter with people, man?
So I've noticed there seems to be more and more bots and fake accounts on Facebook than ever. My post where I was flaming up American Express for them demanding $36,000 in 10 days.
Yeah.
That post is still catching algorithm, and I still get likes on that post today.
I wonder why.
Well, I'll get a new like, and I go click on the person that liked it, and it's like they have a weird profile picture, they don't have a banner photo, and they have like less than 20 friends.
Yeah.
And so either it's getting shared amongst a very loser-ish cell of people in the U.S.
Hey, don't say low friend count or losers, because that's me.
20? I mean, come on.
I don't know how many I got.
But either
it's
that...
It's not a lot.
Either that, or it's found some wave in the bot community. Because, like, that's how the bots work, is they go find popular posts.
Yeah.
And they use the people that have interacted with the popular post, and then they try to gain their information.
Yes.
And then they'll clone your profile and all of that stuff. And so it's one of the two, I'm not sure. But it's crazy. Like you can, there are certain things you can post and you'll see the bots come alive. You can post that you have tickets for sale for an upcoming event.
There's 1,000.
And you'll have a ton of other people saying, I have tickets too, let me know.
Trying to scam people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's no different than whenever the first TradeWinds event we ever posted, we posted up tickets are finally on sale, blah, blah, blah. And within an hour, there were people in the comments saying, I bought tickets and my plans changed and I can't go, so I'm selling them for face value. And it's like, we haven't sold any tickets yet.
Yeah, we can see
and
number.
Yeah, like those are bots. And what's funny is, like, they're not your friends.
No.
They're searching Facebook for tickets. They literally go to Facebook and search the word tickets, and they find every post that's offering tickets for sale, and they're trying to scam people out of money.
It's crazy.
It is so wild how all that stuff works.
You know, speaking of events, we haven't said this on this podcast.
Right.
Our next event is Vegas. July 26th in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, the way we're going to do this is it's members only unless there are tickets left over.
Unless we have availability. And right now it looks like we'll have,
I would say
10-ish,
10
maybe.
Ten would probably be my guess.
Yeah.
Or you could sign up for TradeWinds for 1 month.
And then you get a ticket.
You could buy a ticket and then cancel. You don't have to be a paying member at the time. Like, just, I mean, if you want to.
Right.
TradeWindsConsulting.com, WinningInTheTrades.com. I think WinningInTheTrades.com is still tagged over there. We've had some issues.
Yeah.
TradeWindsConsulting.com. Click on events.
Yeah.
Come see me and Mitch.
Yeah. In Vegas.
In Vegas. Maybe see him get harassed by a gay man.
I mean, if he still works at that bar.
Dude, you know what would be...
You know we're going back there.
I know.
That was a fun fucking time.
You know what would be even better than that? Is if it was a trainee. A hot trainee with some nice jugs.
Oh, like a different person this time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking I meant if he turned into a trainee?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think he was going that way, but no. You never know.
Super cool, dude.
Yeah.
He was there all weekend.
He was fun.
While we were there. I will say this. A lot of the guys, not a lot, I've seen three or four of the guys from TradeWinds, they're going early.
Yeah.
George is going from like Thursday to Sunday. Or no, I think he said Wednesday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go. John Castro's going. He's bringing his wife with him. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Should be a fun time.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. You got the lineup set up? I'm not asking you to say who they are, but do you have it figured out?
Yeah. So what we're going to do it on a marketing theme. In other words, we're going to have some top leaders from some top marketing agencies in town or in the nation come in and speak on how, like, everything you can be doing for yourself in marketing, at what point you need to consider hiring an agency, the things that you'd want an agency to do versus what you would do, how to spot a bad agency.
Yeah. What are the red flags?
Red flags for bad agencies and all of that stuff. So, as people are building their businesses and starting to have to tip their toe into the marketing realm, they're going to help kind of roadmap it out for you as far as what you can do, what you can't do, what you need to have an agency do, how to know if your agency's doing good, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. You know, we talk about it a lot, just that TradeWinds has taught us so much.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those events where I'm going to be like, okay, what am I getting from this?
Right.
Because I'm not a great marketer. Like, I can market myself. But like when the guys ask me this and that and blah, 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 it's like marketing has changed so fast in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not like it was before.
Yeah.
So we'll be trying to learn all kinds of stuff. Mitch might be in the front row.
I mean, I will be in the front row. But those events are kind of tough, though. Like, I never get to learn too much at the events because I'm too busy trying to make sure they go smooth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But although Vegas goes a little bit smoother than anywhere else. They're just built for it.
The people that are helping with the event as far as serving food and all that, and the people, like, there are...
They're on standby.
More numbers. They're on standby. Like, you can literally call them and be like, hey, we're having a problem with this. We need this now.
And they're there in 3 minutes.
There's three people because they didn't know who was going.
Yeah.
And they're all there helping.
Yeah.
So it does make it easier on us.
Yeah.
Like, Kansas City. Like, I was running around all day.
Yeah.
And you want to give everyone, like, everyone that wants to ask questions, you want to give them as much information. You know, and people are saying, hey, what was Chris saying about this? What was Nick Staten saying about this? Was he post on his business profile first and this? And so then you're running around trying to get their questions answered and, you know, trying to keep everyone from killing each other. And
yep.
It's, you know, it's a long day.
Yeah.
But in Vegas.
Vegas, it's worth it.
It's easy.
Because the sun doesn't go down in Vegas.
Considering.
It's light in that man, casino that. All day long.
What are you taking? 27 5-hour energy drinks.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes. Be away for
50-50.
Days.
Energy drink, water. Energy drink, water.
How am I supposed to get drunk?
Put vodka in your water and your energy drink.
Gummies only?
There you go.
2.5s? Yeah. Taking 2.5 milligrams with you?
You like the time I thought I was taking 4s and they were 40s?
Dude, I would love to see that in the casino. Playing craps, nope. I look mm-hmm. over, that 40's hitting Mitch.
Too many lights. Too many sounds. Mm-mm.
Just look over, he's asleep at a slot machine.
Yep.
Dude, what happened to Mitch? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened to him.
Yep.
Oh. So I know, if people don't know, a lot of what we talk about is because you have a lot of drama in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's self-driven. I think you might just be a magnet.
Yeah.
Like Ray in our group is a magnet for bad employees for some reason.
Yes.
And bullshit happening to him. You're yep. a magnet for drama. You always have been that way.
Always.
So when you say to me, this is what we're going to be talking about, I know that there's some kind of weird, stupid story.
Oh, yeah.
So give it to me.
So
give me something.
So the topic of today's show is boundaries. And we're going to use some a real life example from myself that's occurred in the last recent days as to the importance of boundaries. And so for those that don't know, because some people don't, boundaries are rules that you make everybody in your circle adhere to.
Whether you realize it or not.
Whether you realize it or not, right?
Yeah.
So like if honesty is a core value of yours, then you won't let people in your circle that are dishonest.
Yeah.
And if they're in your circle and they're like they're close in your circle, then you're going to call them out if they're being dishonest. Like you're close enough to be like, "Hey, I don't appreciate that dishonesty back there. I know it wasn't even directed at me, but we're better than that," right? Like
yeah.
that's the benefit of having a good close circle. And so but really anybody you associate with in life, you've got rules that guide your association with them. We have rules for our customers. We have boundaries for our customers, right? We're not going to let somebody try to take advantage of us. We're not going to send our guys into an infested house.
With feces all over it, cockroaches, whatever.
Yeah, like feces we do run into just because it's sewage mess. But
I meant animals. Like
yeah.
You're letting your animals out of control.
Yeah, animal
the whole
feces
thing is just a biohazard.
Right, right. We're not going to put our guys in a structurally unsafe house. You know, we require shoring. Like we have safety boundaries. We require shoring on all excavations. You know, all of those things. And it's just the culture of our company. It's the culture that our employees go by. And like our employees know that all they have to do is call me and say, "Hey, I declined working in this customer's house because of a cockroach infestation."
Yeah.
Cool. Did you tell dispatch? Yes, I did. Cool. Now it's noted on dispatch.
Yeah.
Sweet. And they know they'll never, ever catch flack from me. They just have to tell me about it. So I'm aware of it too. Right?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It's a safety thing.
Oh, right.
You want your employees to feel safe. If your employees don't feel safe at work, don't come at us like, "Oh, we can't find anybody to hire."
Right.
Dude.
Right.
Come on.
And I learned a lot about that from when you and I used to work at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and Enterprise had that philosophy where you never needed a manager. everybody was a manager.
Yeah.
And so like if you needed to squabble over $15 on your $100 bill, the associate that you were working with didn't have to pause and go get the manager to approve it. The associate had the ability to approve.
It was get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done.
Just do what's right.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And so I've always kind of treated our guys that way. And I always treat, you know, my friends and associates that way. And you'll have some people that you are forced to be around in life that you don't really have a choice in the matter of you being around them. And so that's where boundaries become really important, because if you have to be around them regardless of whether your choice, regardless of your choosing, then you definitely need to stand firm on your boundaries.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
And so we have a neighbor a couple doors up the street that over
is this,
the...
Is this a neighbor I know?
Yes.
Okay.
Over the course of the last, I don't know, 8 years, we've realized he's just more and more of a loose cannon than ever. And like, we've always known he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
But, he's got anger problems. He's got temper problems.
And he's married to a girl we went to high school with.
I know.
That's crazy. She was so nice too.
Was.
Yeah.
Not now.
Well, I mean, would you be?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the police frequent our neighborhood quite a bit because of him and all of this
stuff. Are they coming to see him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or he's calling on other people?
Yeah. I mean, he got raided by the ATF a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah. For buying and selling too many guns without a license, without a firearms license, or without a dealer's license.
I didn't think that was a thing. Is there a number? Is it like cars, like up to 12 or 10 or something?
It was enough that the FBI and the ATF were here.
Yeah, I'm asking you questions you could possibly not know the answers to.
Yeah, I don't know.
But now, like when someone talks guns, I'm engaged immediately.
But so we already know that he is very irrational. He makes decisions out of emotion. And he's very controlling. And
does he listen to this podcast?
I don't know.
He's not going to come to my house, is he?
I doubt it. He doesn't even know where you live. But it doesn't matter.
It's public information almost. I just got to know, do I get to get some of the more of the guns out?
Yeah. He's a very controlling individual. So I went to go bid a job for him like 3 years ago. And he just took possession of this building about 15 minutes prior to my arrival to give him an estimate.
Had he been it before, I guess? Before he bought it?
He bought the building and then needed a whole bunch of plumbing ran inside it to create like a manufacturing
facility.
But
he knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, he knew he was going to have to get this. And so, I mean, he's only had possession of the building for 15 minutes. It's 8 a.m., okay? 8:15 a.m. We unlocked the door. Well, first of all, so he's got muscular dystrophy, so he's not all that stable. And there's no hand railing on the stairs to get up to the front door. And so he was motherfucking... whoever built the stairs before I even got there. And so I pull up.
It was probably pre-handicap.
Who knows?
You know.
I pull up and he's motherfucking them and he's like, you got to get over here because I can't get up these stairs until you hold my hand. And so I hold his hand and help him get up the stairs, you know, and we get inside and the lights don't work. Well, they haven't changed the power meter over. They got to put it on, turn on the power under his name. So he calls the power department. He starts motherfucking the CSR at the power department. It's like, dude, she's just a girl that answers phones.
Yeah.
You took possession of this building 15 minutes ago. It's light out. This building has garage doors.
Relax, bro.
We'll just open a garage door and get the light that we need. And he's like, no, it's a matter of principle. I don't do business this way. They said power'd be on today. I'm like, it's 8 a.m. power might be on today.
Yeah.
It's the power company.
Yeah.
They didn't say power would be on by 8 a.m. this morning today. They said it would be on today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
all right. Okay.
That's what I mean. That's how temperamental this guy is.
You better shut your phone off.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be up your ass. Not in a good way.
And so we have always kept our distance from him. This guy is also the same guy that once we got FCC clearance to start texting our customers, doing texting campaigns.
I think I remember you hearing me about that. Telling me about this.
Yeah. So just so you guys know, if you want to text your customers legally, you have to go through this process with the FCC and you got to follow some rules. And there has to be clear opt-outs for people to opt out and all this stuff. And so it took us about 6 months to get cleared to send texts. We got cleared to send text and we sent out a text. And he calls me and I'm on the other line. So I forward it to voicemail and he leaves me a voicemail that just says, call me ASAP. And so then I was like, I was still on this other phone. So I'm texting while I'm on this other phone call. And I just said, hey, what's going on? He goes, I need to talk to you by phone, not text. And I'm like, well, I'm on another call. Well, this is the controlling nature of him.
I understand, but how you read that, like, how do you know that's what it was?
Because
you know him well enough to know?
I know him well enough.
Or later you knew that.
Well,
why I hate texting.
Yeah. Well, his attitude later proved that that's the way it was. And so I tell him I'm going to be on this call for a while, but I can text what's going on. And he goes, I didn't give you permission to text me and your company's texting me. And I said, we don't need permission. It's clearly written on our website. Like we've passed all the FCC stuff. And he goes, don't try to tell me what's legal and what's not. I know the law better than you. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like I've gone through the process and we're doing things as we're supposed to do. And he goes, no, you need expressed written consent from me to send me a text. And I'm like,
no, I don't.
No, I don't.
You're a dumb fuck.
Right. And he goes, and so then we talked. So then I got off the phone and he was trying to do, like his text got really abrasive. And so I call him and I'm like, Todd, is this some like business owner bullshit flex or like what's going on? And he goes, you think this is a flex? This isn't a flex. This is the law. Okay.
Got it. Flex. Understood.
Got it. Yeah.
How about I walk up there and then just push you down?
And he was like, you're gonna end up in prison unless you fix this. And I'm like, prison? Because my company sends out texts. I doubt it.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I gave you a chance to fix it the right way, but now it's just going to get really expensive for you. And he hangs up the phone.
I said, I'd have called him back and be like, hey, bring it on, bitch.
Yeah. Well, in through this whole process, like the text he received says reply stop to opt out. And nowhere ever did he reply stop.
Yeah, which means you can keep texting.
But there's all these things of like, where did I sign up for this? I didn't sign up for this. I've tried to opt out 3 times and it's not letting me. And it's like, dude, and he's sending me screenshots of all of his texts.
You're like, did you?
And I'm like, nowhere in here did you reply stop. Like literally 4 letters, send, and you would have been done, right?
Yeah, if you just hit stop or type stop and send, it's over.
Right. And so in other words, he sent me screenshot proof that he was not abiding by the FCC rules of reply stop to opt out, right?
Retards everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. You can't say retards now. I apologize.
I saw something the other day that was like, this was a meme, and it was like, people like you are why we can't say retard anymore. It's funny.
That's great.
And so that's how Todd is. Todd wants to try to outsmart you, like try to play this big, I'm smarter than you, don't even mess with me.
I mean, I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but it's because he's got what he's got.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? And so he's got little man complex.
He could.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. But I mean, he's notorious for biting off more than he can chew whenever it comes to arguments because, I mean, he's been bloodied and bruised from picking fights in gas stations and getting his ass whipped.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love
and,
it.
And
what happened to you?
Well, run my mouth.
Yeah.
Fucking teeth knocked.
Yeah.
Look, hey, and I'm saying that I've been beat. Yeah. Okay. Like, I understand.
Right.
Sometimes you got to pick your battles wisely.
But like, I've seen him argue with other neighbors and everything else, and it never goes well. He doesn't argue to, like, get to common ground.
Yeah, he argues to argue so that he's on the top of the hill.
He wants to argue so he can, like, prove you wrong.
He can be right.
It's a personal vendetta for him. It's not to create, move the event forward, create common ground or anything like that.
No, dude, people wonder why I moved out of that neighborhood.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't because I had problems in the neighborhood, but I just knew, oh man,
yeah.
You could see other neighbors bickering, fighting. Well, my yard line is actually here. Dude, you're talking one pass on the mower. Who gives a shit?
Right, right.
Yeah, I couldn't do it now, man.
And so since that time, so that was about 2 years ago.
Have you guys been at, like, odds since then, or you just avoid each other?
Yeah, we just avoid each other.
Okay.
But he's got three daughters that are always outside playing, and he's never outside with them.
Are these the ones that used to jump on your trampoline?
Yes.
But their parents didn't watch him, so you took the trampoline down because you were afraid that he'd try to sue you?
Well, the day that he told me that it was going to get really expensive for me for not asking his permission to text him, I literally came home that day.
Just got a hole in that thing.
No, I took the trampoline down, threw it away. I took our zip line down, threw it away. I'm like, that guy's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Just imagine if his daughter breaks his arm on my trampoline.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
The parent who's never been outside to watch your kid expects me to watch your kid for you. You know full and well that they're on my property jumping on my trampoline.
Yeah.
But you put out no regard for their safety.
How can you be such an... like? Think about it. Think about those little girls ran down here one time, and they're like, "We're gonna go jump!" And they're so excited, and they get down here, and it's not here.
Right.
And they're like, "Oh, Mr. Smedley took down his trampoline."
Yep.
And it's your fault as a parent, not you. It's his fault because he's a fucking piece of shit that his little kids can't play on that trampoline, dude.
So
that's crazy.
So that was the only thing that ever allowed his kids to really come into my yard. And so very soon after I took that down, his kids were playing in my driveway. And I said, "Girls, there's nothing for you to play with in my yard. There's no trampoline. There's no zip line. There's no reason for you to be in my yard. Please do not come in my yard." And the oldest one looks back at me and she goes, "My dad says you took the trampoline down because he was going to sue you." So he knew.
Yeah.
Without me even telling him. Like, he knew. He lined it all up, right?
Yeah. And then told his kids.
And then told his kids that.
What a piece of shit.
Right. So,
wow.
Saturday night, Friday. Was it Friday night?
Today's Tuesday for all of you listening. Are you talking about this last Friday or
Friday
Saturday?
Friday night.
Okay.
We're out on the boat.
Friday night.
Yep.
We had group call and then you were going out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We went out on the boat Friday evening and, ended up being a fuck ton of us out there. We had two boats full of people. And
that's also why I don't go out with you anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid one of them is going to be like that guy.
No, they're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to invite somebody on a boat, they got to be pretty cool because you're trapped.
I know. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't know the people that you invite.
Yeah.
Just because you think they're cool doesn't mean I think they're cool.
Yeah. We kind of turned one boat into the chill spot and one boat into the surf boat. And so we were kind of the chill boat. And so we were just anchored out and chilling and enjoying our time with friends. And I get a call from Todd. And
just a random out of the blue
just
call?
Just random out of the blue call. And I already know he's controlling, and I refuse. So this is a boundary I've set. I refuse to drop what I'm doing when Todd calls.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him that satisfaction.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm surprised he would call.
So
continue with the story.
Mason's out on the lake with us. Grant is home with a friend.
Okay.
And so immediately I'm like,
What did Grant do?
Why would Todd be calling me, right? So I don't answer Todd's call, and then he texts me and Danielle both and says, "I need one of you two to call me immediately." And
see,
again,
I'm such an asshole. I'd be like, "Nope."
I immediately replied with "about?" question mark. And
about. See,
yeah.
I'm just nope.
In other words, yeah, I saw your phone ring. I let it go to voicemail.
Yeah,
In other words, I'm telling him
immediately.
I intentionally didn't answer your call, right?
No, you're not an instigator.
And so I call Grant and I'm like, "Do you have any reason why Todd would be calling me?" And Grant says, "Yes. Carly, his daughter, thinks that we shot her in the face with the BB gun." And I'm like, "What do you mean she thinks?" I don't know why she thinks that, but she does. And I'm like, okay.
You know that I have cameras on my house.
Uh-huh.
It's time.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get some cameras, man.
And
Lorex, for anyone that's listening, is fantastic. L-O-R-E-X.
And so I'm like, Grant, did you? And he goes, no. We were playing our chicken game that we play, and then by the time we saw Carly, we were already back in our yard and shooting the gun into the woods. The gun was never even pointed near her.
They shot her.
Guarantee it. No, they didn't.
Okay.
And the chicken, this is a Red Ryder BB gun, okay?
Yeah, it's a click-click spring-loaded.
Spring-loaded. You can see the BBs come out of it. And they play this game of chicken where they put on safety glasses and they stand way far apart and shoot each other and then...
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
They have to take steps closer. And it's like, who can get the closest, right?
Yeah. Ask Cody Smith about a spring-loaded BB gun.
Yeah.
I buried one in his stomach one time.
Well, I mean, at point blank, it'll go in.
It was at point blank range.
At point blank, it'll go in, right? But these are, I mean, they're shooting each other like 100 feet away.
Oh, okay.
And so...
you should probably not let them do that. Just...
Yeah.
Side note.
Yeah. Hey, they're boys.
I know.
If I don't let them do that, they're going to be like, how big of a stick can you stab in your leg?
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
It's just what boys do.
I know.
But
we used to climb a fucking spillway with water coming over it that was 50 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
I know.
And so I'm like, Grant, this is one of those times where I need you to be honest. He's like, I'm being honest, Dad. I don't know what she's talking about. And so, so then we get a text from Todd that says, you guys have 30 seconds to call me or I'm calling the police.
Call them.
And I just replied, call them.
Yeah.
Right?
Call them.
Because I already know that no matter what Todd has to say, nothing that happens on that phone call will be productive. He's going to try to posture and be some big boisterous person. And
you know, if the cops come, they already know him.
Right.
You know what I mean? They know that he's a fucking problem.
Right. And let's be real. If my kid did shoot somebody in the face with a BB gun, the cops need to be involved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like I'm not trying to, hide my kid from accountability.
Yeah.
100%. But I know how Todd is, and I know he's very irrational, and I know his daughter is a habitual liar.
To get that from his...
I don't know. I think she's so starved for attention, she just comes up with all kinds of stories. Because the stories that comes out of that girl's mouth are just so wild. It's like, there's no way this is true. And like they would be over in our house playing on our trampoline, and then she would come ring our doorbell because Grant said something to her that she didn't like. Okay. Like, toughen up. What did he tell you? He said my dress isn't pretty.
That's a girl thing.
Really? I know. Yeah. But and then you talk to Grant, and Grant's like, I wasn't even outside. I was inside playing video games. I didn't even talk to her. Like, she's just making shit up,
man,
for the attention.
I feel bad for those kids.
Yeah. So we already know.
Good kids, too.
Right. We already know she can't be trusted with truth and all of this stuff. And so.
That sucks.
So Danielle calls the wife instead of Todd.
Stop. You said call him. The cops.
Yes. Yeah.
The wife says, I'm calling the wife. Why? Why? Why?
Because we are trying to, keep in mind, we're away. We're on the boat. We're trying to get as much information as we can so we can guide Grant. Do you answer the door when the cops come? Do you not? You know,
no,
all those things.
The answer's no.
Right. Well, so.
Layla knows never to answer the door if we're not home.
And so apparently, as we now learned later, the mom actually came down and talked to the boys.
Why didn't Grant say that?
Huh?
Why didn't he say that?
He wasn't hiding anything. He just didn't know how much of the story to tell me. So,
all of the story.
Well, right. But where does it start?
Bro.
Does it start today? Does it start past stuff?
You know damn well he should have told you that whole story.
No. He didn't lie. He didn't lie. There was just a lot of it.
I know. He just didn't tell you the truth.
No.
He didn't tell you the whole story. That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
Well, you got to tell the whole truth or the whole story, bud.
Well, again, he said they didn't shoot her, and he said that there's no marks on her face and all this stuff. Well, they know that because she came down and talked to the boys, and they were like, no, we didn't shoot her. Does she have any marks on her face? And she said at that time, no, she doesn't have any marks on her face. And so...
Dude, it'd be red. There'd be a serious bump.
and so Danielle's calling the mom to try to... Because the mom can be rational. Todd answers her phone and instantly says something to the effect of, you're too fucking late, you bitch-ass cunt. The cops are already on the way. Or something along those lines.
Let me just say this. If that something like that happens and you're not home, you call me. I will drive the fuck over here and I will lay a cripple out.
Right.
I don't care.
So,
what the fuck?
Right. And so Danielle just hangs up the phone, right? Because again, we're not entertaining the phone call with Todd.
I'm surprised she hung up the phone and didn't go on the, I will fuck. Yeah. And look, I know Danielle is not like super tough.
Yep.
Like, but she could whoop his ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It won't take much.
That dude's a walking skeleton.
Yeah. And so. So now we know the situation's pretty volatile and pretty irrationally volatile.
You got to call me, man.
And so
I will up the ante.
We call Grant and we tell him, keep your phone on the charger, because we could tell from our tracker app that his phone was low on charge.
Stay in your room.
Close all the doors. Do not open them. The police will come. Do not answer the door. And he's like, okay. And then we call the non-emergency line for the police and let them know that we are the parents at this address, and we understand somebody a couple doors up has called the police concerning our child. That child's a minor, and they're home by themselves right now, and we will not allow the police to have a discussion with our minor child without us present.
Yeah.
And so,
which is 100% in your right.
Yeah. And we said it's going to be a while before we're home, and so if the police need to talk to anybody, they can just call us. And so they did.
Okay.
And so Grant stays in the house. The police never ring the doorbell. They walk down to our driveway and then call us from in our driveway.
Okay.
And the
probably
police,
good procedure.
Yeah. And so the police, you know, proceed to tell us the like everything we already knew, that she thought she was shot by the BB gun, but it turns out the sight of the BB gun traumatized her. And so she ran. Keep in mind, her dad owns like 1,000 guns.
Yeah, the ATF is already there.
Yeah. She claims the sight of the BB gun scared her. And so she was running inside. And when she ran inside, she fell. And she was so lost for words. That's the first thing that could come out of her mouth whenever her parents asked, why are you coming inside in a rush and so upset? So she flat out admits she made up the whole thing.
Jesus.
And they said, so there's no mark on your face because you didn't get shot with a BB gun. And she's like, right. I just didn't know what to say. Got it.
Okay.
So, and again, like you and I were talking about recently, I've kind of had a little bit of a bad run with cops not being quite where you need them.
First off, us having a minor conversation about it is a fabrication. We've talked about it a lot.
At length.
You have got to be, like, the whole time you were telling me this, all I think of is when the cops call, they see these red circles, and there's, like, the Smedley house.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The guy up the street, the person down below the creek.
Yeah.
You, like, there's all these red dots, and they're like... These three motherfuckers.
Here we go again.
Here
right?
we go again.
And so...
they're like, you know, we had to drive by three crack houses to come over here and fuck with you people. Yeah. God damn it. We're busy.
Yeah. And so the cop's talking to Danielle, and I'm letting Danielle kind of handle it all because she kind of took the lead on that.
Yeah, and you're on the TRT and get mad. I understand. No. 100%.
And I'm sitting right next to her. And so the cops are like, no, nobody was shot. And so we're good there. And Danielle's like, all right, so then we're good. And the cop said, well, there is one other thing. And we're like, what? And they said, well, there's an ordinance that means your child can't be shooting that Red Ryder BB gun outside. And
oh, in city limits? They're right.
And
I didn't even think about that.
And Danielle's like, I thought that was, you know, the discharging of firearms is against the law. But like, bow and arrow, pellet guns, all of that stuff was okay. And they said no, and as Todd pointed out, because Todd does know the law very well, he just doesn't apply it with tact.
Or to himself.
Right. He said, apparently from Todd, your kids are outside all the time with like Orbeez guns and BB guns and Nerf guns.
An Orbeez gun would not count.
They said any device that fires a projectile is against the law in the city limits.
You tell me Nerf guns illegal?
They specifically said Nerf guns.
Who do they think are buying these things at Walmart?
Right. They.
Okay.
They, and I'm like, and I hear Danielle over the phone, like, you're serious? And they were like, yes, we could.
Like, could or are?
We could cite you for the discharge of a projectile within city limits.
Do you know
limits.
What the ticket on that is? I'd have been like, write the fucking ticket, bro. And tape it to the goddamn door.
And so, yet again, here we are in a situation where the cops have been called out on a complete fabrication. And proven fabrication. The girl admits, I didn't get shot. And yet the cops are still trying to act like, you're not totally in the right here because your kid shoots a Nerf gun outdoors. And he shoots a BB gun into the woods.
I don't understand why kids can't be kids. You know, everyone wants to bitch and moan that kids aren't kids. Like when we were tough in the 80s and riding bikes with our heads split open. And it's like, no, now you get in trouble for shooting a BB gun into the woods.
Right.
Like, and
Nerf gun. I mean, they specifically said
Nerf gun. What the fuck?
Well, and how that came about was Danielle was like,
have you seen that granny that's got the fucking Gatling gun?
Yeah.
That when she has Nerf wars with her kids?
Right.
Like, what are we doing, man?
Not to mention, there's like school, they're not school sponsored, they're school affiliated Nerf wars. The seniors do it every year.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
They play this game of like last man standing and everybody has a Nerf gun. Yeah. And if you're the last one standing, you win the game.
Man, stuff's so different. Like right. Ours was just drink as many beers, last man standing wins. Yeah. Like, what the fuck happened?
But Danielle was like, by the way you're explaining that rule, it sounds like Nerf guns are even illegal. And that's crazy. And the cops said, actually, Nerf guns are illegal.
Okay, then you are crazy.
And
got
it's
it.
Like,
understood.
Oh my God. Like,
people wonder why I moved out of city limits.
Like, is my arm considered a device? Because it can release a projectile.
Stop.
You know what? I'm serious. Like,
That's not where I was going with that.
Oh, no. Get your mind out of the gutter.
That's the first thing I went to. I was like,
But, I mean, like, how dumb are we going to make this?
Yeah, I can throw a rock that'll hurt you more than a Nerf gun, a BB gun.
Right.
Like, anything. So, yeah.
Yeah. But
if I throw a rock, I'm going to jail.
Yeah. But keep in mind, we can't charge somebody with Grand Theft Auto because they're in possession of your stolen car, right? So
is it, I didn't think you were going to bring that all the way back around.
It's just
around,
weird,
okay.
Weird rules, right?
No, it's insanity is what the fuck it is.
I don't want this thing to default back on that because I'll probably be following up with the Nerf. I mean, imagine living in a city where your kid can't play with a fucking Nerf gun. And by their rule, you can't play with a Nerf gun in your home either because your home's inside city limits.
A water gun's the same thing.
A water gun fires a projectile out the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're telling me we can't have water guns now?
Right.
We can't have Nerf guns?
Right. So so I'll probably be chatting that up and following up with that part. But the premise of this whole thing is, had I not put boundaries in place, and the boundary was, I do not talk to Todd. There's no reason I would need to talk to Todd if it was truly an emergency. Let's say my kids did shoot her in the face with a BB gun.
Why didn't he call 911?
He would have called 911.
Immediately.
He would have addressed it.
No.
Right?
Because he was, and what's fucked up is, like, literally, my daughter comes into my house, screams I get shot with a pellet gun. Where? She shows me. I look at her forehead. I see nothing. What are you talking about?
Right.
I immediately question.
Right.
And it's not even so much that I care. It's that I want to know exactly what happened, and I want to have all my truths and facts in place before I go run amok like a crazy person.
Right.
But apparently, this guy needs something to fucking do.
Yeah.
You remember I told you not that long ago that I just need to start keeping a list?
Yep.
Guess who's on my fucking list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I'll read through the text that we got from him. So at 8:04,
here so bad.
I need one of you to call me immediately. At 8:04, I reply with about. And then at 8:04, he said, "Mitch, pick up the fucking phone and call me, or I'm going to call the police in 30. You got 30 seconds to figure it the fuck out.
Call them, bitch."
I said, "Call them."
See, you're not. He knows. Well, I shouldn't say this. I don't know how to say this. I feel like he does that because he knows you won't be up in his shit.
Right.
Like, well, I would have been, before any of this ever happened, like the first time, dude, him and I, one of us would have been going to jail for assault.
Right.
And then this whole situation doesn't happen. People don't realize this about Mitch. Mitch is a super nice, calm,
diplomatic
individual. You are.
Yeah.
Man, sometimes you got to just beat the shit out of somebody to get them out of your life.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
So then 4 minutes later, at 8:08, he says, "Mitch, your fucking son shot my daughter with a BB gun. The police are on their way. I gave you an opportunity to handle this," which is proof that he wanted to argue about. Yeah. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew that it didn't happen. And he just wanted to, like, what is us talking about it over the phone going to do to handle it?
It's not.
If your daughter got shot in the face with a BB gun, the police need to be called.
Yeah.
So, like, what would our phone call do to handle it other than feed into your desire to posturize and everything else? And so that's why I have that boundary in place with him. And boundaries will be different for everybody. But with him, it's like, I don't talk with you over the phone. There's nothing productive that comes from a phone call.
Do you think that if I walked up the street and asked him if his wife was home and then she came to the door? Like I said, "Hey, Todd, I did some HVAC for you not a while back. I went to high school with your wife. Is she home? I just wanted to say, hey, how are you guys?" And then she came and I was like, "Hey, you want to go get a drink or something? You want to get the fuck out of here?"
Yeah.
I think he'd lose his mind.
Who knows?
I mean, you know what? That's not the answer I want. I want, yes, he would lose it. What if she's like, "Yeah, yeah, sure, okay."
She probably wouldn't. That girl's weird. But
yeah.
So here's
your wife.
Here's the wild thing. So now we know that nobody got shot. Now we know the daughter lied and made the whole thing up. And
did they write the ticket?
No. God, no.
What was the end of that story?
We'll patronize the cops and we'll be like, "Okay, thank you for letting us know. We'll get rid of all the guns." And then they leave.
Okay, and they left. No deal, nothing. They just wanted to say, "Hey, if we needed to."
Right.
Let's be honest. That's probably part of their training, too. Like, hey, let's...
Maybe.
We have to say these things so that civilians are aware of the law.
Right.
Not necessarily that if we see your boys out in the yard with a Nerf gun, we're going to write them a fucking ticket or take them away or write you one.
Right.
I guarantee that's part of their training.
Could be. But so now that Todd and his wife know that his daughter was lying, and now that they know she made the whole thing up...
No apology?
Not apology, not a word, not a nothing.
You should send him some mail. It's just a letter that says, "Hey... Just wanted to let you know, no hard feelings after all of that. You know, stuff happens. Just waiting around for our apology."
Yeah.
You asshat.
Right. And it's like, okay, so the guy that likes to blow things up so he can argue blew something way out of proportion, didn't get the argument, and is now probably still resenting the fact that I didn't bow down to his orders and call him when he wanted me to call him.
No, I don't think that's how those people are. I think those people literally wipe it clean and they're like, and they don't think about it anymore and it doesn't bother them and they're like, "Next time I'll get them."
Yeah, maybe.
And they're totally calm and rational about it because I think that's what insane people do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like,
because you know you're not the only person on his list.
Oh, right.
He's got, you know, so he just goes on to the next one, trying to fulfill his sick little fucking whatever it is.
Right. Right. Those people, you know? Those people get some kind of sick satisfaction about telling people off.
Yeah.
And they get really pissed whenever they can't get an inch on you to tell you off.
Yeah.
You know, Todd wanted to tell me off and I wouldn't pick up the phone. And so he tried telling me off through text and I simply replied, call them. Like he sent all those texts and literally I sent three words. He sent his whole first text and I just said about. And he sent all the next text and I said, call them.
Yeah.
He sent the last text and I didn't reply.
Yeah.
Like
he's baiting you.
I'm not buying the bait, right? That's the boundary, is I do not conversate with you.
It make me sound like a psychopath. Like we'll be on Facebook or whatever and people will be like, you know, anti-Trump this or anti, and I'm only using this as an example because it's easy to understand. Well, you know, Elon this and that, and I bet you don't like celebrities for this and that, blah, blah, and I will be super calm. I'll be like, I don't know why you're trying to get me riled up. I'm just literally giving you my opinion. It doesn't really matter. I don't get worked up over it. It doesn't really affect me that much.
Then they get real pissed.
And then there's like 17 pages of just bullshit after bullshit after bullshit.
Read this article and tell me what you think. And read this article and tell me what you think. And they always send you homework.
Yeah. It's like, I'm kind of busy. You know, like I have a job and a life. I'm not just sitting here on Facebook just trying to argue with people. I was just stating what I believed and that's it. And man, they lose it.
Yep.
Just like that. About 17 text messages.
Right.
Dude, do you have something better to do?
No, right. I'm on this building. I'm a fucking loser.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, although he's probably not. But, you know, it just let it go.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of sick satisfaction do you need?
You're going to, as in business, you're going to have to set boundaries with people. You got to set boundaries for your customers for sure. Because
out of the gate.
Yeah. Like, only 10% of the population out there is actually a good customer for your business. A lot of people think they want everyone to be a customer, and you don't.
I'd say it's more than 10.
Well, you got to keep in mind, like if you're in a home service business, 50% of the population rents. So there goes half of them right out of the gate.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like 20%.
Of the 50% that's left, maybe 20% of them aren't your customer. The 50% that's left, which would be 10%.
I mean, like, I don't want to get on a whole side tangent. Some guys that run service love working for rental agencies. You know, those are their customers, and they like it, and it's not a big deal. And in certain areas of the country, it does work.
Yeah, keep in mind, though, like, if you run service and you work for apartment complexes, you have one customer. That's the apartment complex. It's not the people in the apartment complex.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you could talk percentage of revenue. You could talk all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But
I guess what I'm getting at is even in apartment complexes and commercial work, you have boundaries you have to set.
Yeah.
You have to clearly communicate those boundaries. And the boundaries, like I clearly communicated this to Todd when he was trying to argue with me over the text message thing. I told him, I'm like, Todd, you and I have wasted, you and I are what I would consider higher value people. We've wasted 25 minutes arguing about this when you literally could have typed four letters and hit send, and this is over with and done with. So
yeah.
I don't believe that you wanted a quick and amicable end to this. I think you were looking for a fight, and you're not finding one here.
He's looking for something to do.
Yeah.
Some people thrive on drama.
Right. And so
it's their adrenaline.
I said, because of that, I don't talk with you anymore. And so I said, talking with you has not gotten me anywhere in recent times. And so I don't talk with you anymore. And so that, like, we haven't spoken since since Friday. And even Friday, we didn't speak. Friday, it was texting, right?
You know what I've really learned over the last 3 weeks? You got to get the fuck out of this neighborhood, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
No, not maybe. You got to get the fuck out of here.
I need to buy that land by you. I need to find out if it's for sale or not.
It's for sale.
It's got a for sale sign, but it's not listed on any sites.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know why. I've told you why.
They want too much for it.
No, because it's already been approved for a subdivision.
Yeah.
And it's in Blue Springs city limits. You can't shoot guns out there. You got the same problem you got fucking here.
Even by beyond all those bean fields, it's still in city limits?
Yes.
Wow. That sucks. Oh, well.
I would love for you to buy it. It'd be fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
There's great hunting right there.
It'd be like backyard neighbors almost.
It'd be really cool.
Put
us a zip line in from my house to your house.
Did we just become best friends? Yes. Put my nuts on your drum set.
Okay. Okay. Did I get you off track? I apologize.
you've got to recognize who you're dealing with. And especially in business, there's going to be times where you have to deal with people that you don't like, but you have to. For instance, your sales manager at your parts supplier, your account manager, that may be somebody that you don't get along with. So you have to set boundaries. When and will you communicate, right? You have to set boundaries for your customers. Here's another breach in boundaries. That same night, Friday night, 10 o'clock at night.
Are you still on the boat?
No, we're putting the boat away.
Okay.
Getting home from putting the boat away.
Okay.
I get a Facebook messenger message from an older acquaintance. Hey, Mitch, I need you to call me immediately. He called and I missed his call because my phone's on vibrate 24/7.
Yeah. Mine is too.
He called, I missed his call, and I got a Facebook message from him. Or no, maybe it was a text or a voicemail or something. I got a plumbing question for you. I need you to call me ASAP. Dude, it's 10 o'clock on a Friday night.
I'd have called him.
No.
Do 10 o'clock on a Friday, if I'm still up, I'm drunk, I'm like, let's see what this motherfucker wants.
So then, 5:30 a.m.
Did you call him?
Saturday morning. He's calling back.
Oh, okay.
And then he sends a Facebook. No, he messages into our...
If it's that big of an emergency and your plumber buddy doesn't answer, call a real plumber.
Or call the main line.
Or the main right? line. That's really what I meant. In other words, call a plumbing line.
Yeah. And so, let's see. He called and then he texted my phone and Danielle was like, who the fuck is calling you at 5:30? And I looked at it and I'm like, it's this guy. And she was like, ugh. So we go back to sleep.
Do I know who this is?
No.
Okay.
And so then, like 3 hours later, it's like 8:30 in the morning now, she's lighting him up. She's found him on Facebook and she's texting him. And she's like...
First off, you know that's psychotic behavior.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
It's disturbing her peace too.
Dude, that's psychotic behavior.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally acting out a vendetta because someone called early in the morning. What if it had been me?
It would have been different.
It still would have been disturbing her behavior.
If you call at 5:30 in the morning, there's a good reason. And you and I have the relationship to be understanding of that.
Dude.
This is one of those things of you never hear about somebody until they need your services that you provide. And all of a sudden, hey, Mitch, old good buddy, old pal.
Look, I understand the being mad about it.
Yeah.
I understand all of that. The vindictive behavior to then be like, you know what? I'm going to be lighting this motherfucker up in front of everyone on Facebook. What?
No. She's not lighting him up on Facebook. Facebook Messenger. So it's just going to him.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Facebook.
No. Facebook Messenger. She finds him on Facebook and then messages him.
Still, I'll give her half the credit.
And she basically said like, dude, this is totally uncalled for. Calling at 10 o'clock at night and then again at 5:30 in the morning. Like, we get time to ourselves too.
You're gonna get crushed for this.
No.
Not me.
Like, we get time for ourselves too, and we're not to be at everybody under the sun's beck and call for whatever plumbing problem they have 24/7. We have hours of business, and if you want to schedule a service call, you call into the main number and schedule a service call, and she gives him the number. And he was like, you're right. You're totally right. I apologize. I get up at 2:30 every morning. So for me, the day was half over and I lost track of time. I didn't realize it was 5:30 a.m. when I was calling. Okay. Well, first off, that's
a lie.
That's a problem, right? And I mean, kudos to Danielle for doing that. I probably would have said something, but I wasn't going to call the guy at 8:30 in the morning. Like, no, I'm calling you and I'll get around to it. There's a lot of people that think because your phone rings, you have to answer it.
Yeah, that's as a one-man show in the heating and cooling industry in the summer, it was literally, I had to have that conversation with people that was, look, I'm not sitting around waiting for you to call me.
Yeah.
So that I can get some work.
Yeah.
That's not what's happening.
Right.
But I didn't, like, I would just literally silence my phone and leave it in the other room.
Yeah.
And then when I got up, I'd call him back, be like, hey. A couple of times it was, hey, I need you for this. We don't have heat, this and that. Like when Layla was born, this was the worst one ever. And I lost this customer and I didn't give a fuck. Layla's born.
Those feel good.
Oh, man. This guy, first off, is one of those I'm the most important person in the room kind of people.
Yep.
Worked with Janine at the hospital. Okay. We have the baby. So we had been in at 5 a.m. She was induced. She wasn't born until 9 o'clock the next night. Like, Janine was in there forever. C-section, everything. So we've been up for almost 48 hours. He, you know, sends me a deal, blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's not that big a deal. Just whenever you have time, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, we get released, go home. He calls me, keep in mind, I've slept for like 10 hours.
Right.
He calls me, hey, this and that, blah, blah. Well, I call him. I say, hey, look, dude. If it was that important, you call somebody else. Frankly, I don't give a fuck about your furnace.
Right.
I just had a kid. You knew we had a kid. You're supposed to be friends with my wife.
Right.
Fuck you. Don't ever call me again.
Right.
But that was like one of two times in...
This is the only time since we've been in business...
15 years.
Yeah.
You know?
This is the only time we've been in business where that a situation like that's happened. And you got to think about what's the misalignment there of...
People think that their problem is the most important problem. It's called selfishness, and people, like, when there is a what they think is an emergency, deprioritize everyone else and prioritize themselves.
But if it's
the
like
definition
for me,
of selfishness.
For me, if it was true selfishness, they would care about themselves so much that whenever they didn't get a reply from you in the timely fashion, they would have moved on. I care about me so much, I guess he lost the business, I'm finding somebody else to fix it.
I'm not gonna
take extra time to like berate you.
I care about myself so much that you're the only plumber I trust and I will get to you regardless.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a weird
it's a psychological debate, but yes, I think it's something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it's selfish, but it's like, why don't you just go all the way with it and be so selfish that you're going to like give your business to somebody else because I didn't answer the phone?
No, because they want what they want, and what they want is you to answer the phone and for you to do their fucking work.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, that's...
It's like the epitome of bullshit.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
And only... What's crazy is only people in a service industry really know what that kind of bullshit's like.
Yeah.
You know, in-home service, and I don't mean just trades. RNs that go in-home, mm-hmm. respiratory therapists that go in-home, servers at restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, I go out of my way to servers at restaurants because I know people are pieces of shit.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's not like, it's really, it's not a big deal.
If I was in a hurry, I wouldn't have come to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Take your time.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Make sure my food's right. Don't spit in it. Here's a huge tip for just having to put up with the other fucking dipshits in this restaurant.
Yeah. Keep my drink full and we're happy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to wait on that beer a couple minutes. Really? It takes my wife 10 to go get me one. I'm happy waiting the 2 fucking minutes. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I wish, and to kind of maybe wrap up that part of your point is, I wish people were more considerate just about other people's time, about how other people think about things, about what's going on in the world. Like,
right.
The whole, not everything is about how you feel at this specific moment. It's going to be okay. The only real emergencies are, nice. The only real emergencies are life and death.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Well, and taxes if you're the IRS.
No, fuck those people too. But everything else is just, it's not substantial.
Right.
It's how you are perceiving that quote unquote emergency.
Right.
You know, yeah, okay, I can see you had a broken 3/4-inch water line in the basement. It's flooding your basement. That guy wouldn't have continued to call you. He'd have just moved on to the next guy.
Right.
Like, hey, I have a serious emergency, and I'd have called the first 15.
Right.
Wouldn't even have cared. You know, you don't care who's doing the work.
Right. Right.
People need to be more considerate.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird, it's kind of a weird thing. And like, I take messages from friends fairly often, right? But
friends is not an acquaintance.
Well, even acquaintances. But they're messages that are delivered at a reasonable hour. Not 10 p.m. on a Friday night when I'm usually in bed by 10. And if I'm not in bed, I'm not in a position to be texting with somebody.
Dude, me too.
and then at 5:30 a.m. Saturday morning, right?
Yeah.
It's like you've tried to reach out twice in the same no-go period.
I will give them credit for the 5:30. So at 10, you didn't answer. Mitch is asleep.
Maybe.
Mitch also.
Maybe he's an early riser.
Mitch also used to talk a ton of shit about being up at 5 and going to the gym every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So maybe it's Mitch does get up early. I'll give him a free pass on that one.
Here's the problem with technology and cell phones today. Just because I have a way for you to access me 24/7 doesn't mean I owe you 24/7 access.
It doesn't mean you have a right to my access.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so in other words, you called.
Yeah.
You left a voicemail.
Yeah.
I got it. I'll call back when I want to call back.
You know what you really need to do? No, you know what? I'm not going to say this.
What?
Well, I don't want to jinx myself. You need to turn your messages off of read. Like, mine are off. I have them off on purpose because I will see people's stuff and I'll be busy and I don't want them to think.
Oh, no. I want them to see if. Yeah, I want you to see. I want you left on red. That's what I want.
The reason I say it is because I know you and see you a lot. I will slap the shit out of you. But you don't do that to me.
Yeah.
I was talking about for other people.
Yeah.
Not me. I don't. Like, when you, I know that you are like, okay, I read that. And yeah. I'm like, when he has time.
Yeah.
Like, none of our, you and I both have this rule that if it's that important, dude, you got to call me.
Right.
If it's important, because,
well,
dude,
like
your 10 o'clock thing, Mitchell texts me sometimes at 8 or 8:30, and I'll read it, and I'll be like, okay, yeah, and I'll think about it, and I'll be like, I need to think about that. And then I'll come forget.
Yeah.
But if it was important, he'd call me, be like, hey, dude, what the fuck?
Right.
And be like, I forgot.
Yeah.
But, you know, you like our relationship's a little different than a lot of people.
Yeah. We've earned the right for a little bit of forgiveness or a little bit of, like, you or I could call each other at any hour of the day and
we'd
be there, right?
Yeah.
But not somebody that I haven't seen in 7 years.
Yeah. Very, 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 very true.
You know, that's that's a different thing.
Yeah. Well, so, and it's like, you know, it's one of those things, and I want to get on to the whole deal here, but, like, you're busy. You got a lot going on. You know I'm busy. You know I got a lot going on. So if it's not important and it doesn't get till the next day, no big deal. I will say this about the guys in TradeWinds. Like, they'll message me and I won't get to it the next day. They know I'm busy.
Yeah.
But I always get back to them unless I just miss it.
Yeah.
But the same thing with them. I'll message them and say, hey, you know, saw this, blah, blah, blah. It'll be the next day. And they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. I know you're busy.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We are all people that are on the next level. They understand.
Yeah.
They're not so self-absorbed that they have to have responses in 2 minutes.
Right.
Hey, this is all I'm doing. No.
Right.
We got lives. You know, we're successful. We're doing things.
Right.
You know, let it go. Fuck it. It's not that important.
Well, and even like I'll get messages from complete strangers that are asking for advice or whatever. And then
just send in the TradeWinds link.
Well, I get messages from TradeWinds members asking for advice too. And I'm more prompt on the TradeWinds members than the complete strangers. Because TradeWinds has, for lack of a better word, they've bought the right to access me at off hours.
Well, and they've garnered your respect
exactly
in their field to say, hey, I'm going to take my time because I know these people are doing the right thing, regardless of the money.
Right. There's nothing worse than an asshole. You know what an asshole is?
No.
It's a person that asks for your advice, but then never takes your advice ever. And so time after time after time.
I got a couple of those in my life.
It's like, why do I give you advice anymore? Because you don't take it. And I'm done giving you advice. Like, you're just an asshole.
But then they keep asking.
But then they keep asking.
And keep asking.
They think the fix is in the ask and not in the implementation.
Well, people think that.
Of the answer.
People think the ask is, I'm going to ask them, I'm going to get their opinion, but I feel better because I asked someone else, I'm just going to do what I wanted anyway.
Right.
So why are you fucking even asking me, man?
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Drives me insane. God, those guys are fucking crazy.
But you'll see as you're growing a business, you'll see that you start having to put boundaries in place, and boundaries move. When I first opened, my boundaries were very loose. If somebody needed a question, you know, I'm answering the phone at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, you're trying to grow your business.
Trying to grow a business.
Yeah.
But then if you want to keep your business from attacking you and eating you alive, and you want to keep your business is a thing that you enjoy instead of a thing that you dread, you have to put boundaries in place.
Yeah.
You have to put boundaries for this is my family time. This is my no phone time. This is date night. You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a family member that always, like we had to get on to her. She would always crunch in on date night. And she'd call. every date night. And then she would literally answer the phone going, oh, is it Wednesday? Bitch, you knew it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's
somebody,
like, no.
Somebody thinks the world revolves around them.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, those types of boundaries are huge. And especially if you're a younger person that's kind of getting out from under your parents' wing, you may find that your parents are toxic. You may find that your parents aren't the best of influence. And so you have to start putting boundaries in place for your parents. And you can do that now that you're an adult and everything else.
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking from personal experience with that. Like, I'm not saying my parents are that way, but, what I'm saying is like that totally happens. There are bad parents out there and kids figure them out eventually. And if you're a kid that's figured out your parents maybe weren't the greatest, yeah. Just solve it with boundaries. You don't have to go right the wrongs. There's no reparations that you need for their bad parenting, you know, yeah. Or whatever else. You just have to put boundaries in place and be like, ah, yeah. Remember that, like, all those times that you went off on the server at the restaurants because the food wasn't right? Yeah, that was really uncomfortable, and I know that now. I just thought that's what people did back then.
Yeah.
And so now the boundary is I don't go out to eat with you because I don't want to be in that position of badgering a server for no reason. And, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
You'll find that the more you grow, the more boundaries you put in place for a lot of things. If you live in a neighborhood, you may have some great neighborly neighbors, but yet you're still going to put some boundaries out there of what you will and you won't talk to with the neighbors or talk about with the neighbors.
Yeah.
What kids are allowed to do and what kids aren't allowed to do, like your kids at the neighbor's kids at your house and all of those kinds of things. What's funny is this is all external of like your direct business, because internal in the business, they're not boundaries with your employees. If you're having boundary issues with your employees, you just need to fire them.
Or you're a bad boss.
Right. Yeah. Right. When they're your employee, it's not a boundary thing. That's a standard. And that's your job to enforce the standard.
Yeah.
And so we're more or less talking about those satellite people that are in your life with no choice. Your employees in your life with choice. But customers can be in your life with no choice. And so you got to set some boundaries there. And you got to be willing to cut customers loose if they're in violation of the boundaries.
Yeah.
The best line I've ever got for firing a customer is, we're in the business of making people 5-star happy. And I don't see that happening with you. And if I can't make you happy, there's no point in me doing any work for you.
Peace, bitch.
And so let's just part ways as unlikely friends.
Unlikely friends. Yeah. I haven't heard that in a while.
And they're usually like, oh, I can't believe you talked to me like that. And I'm like, what? I didn't say anything bad.
You mean you're mad that I didn't give you everything you wanted?
Yeah.
And didn't allow you to railroad me? Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. See ya.
We went to a waterline leak job this last week. And the guy calls in and says he's pretty sure his main line's leaking. The meter's still spinning whenever he turns the valve off in the house. And so we get out there and come to find out the house is on estate acreage. It's an 800 foot long water line. And so we walk the 800 feet and can't find any wet spots. Can't find any grass that's greener than normal, any taller grass or anything to indicate an elevated amount of moisture.
Okay.
And so we recommend a company called American Leak Detection. They use sonar equipment and come out and find it. And they're not cheap. They're about $500 plus $200 an hour. The $500, I think, covers your first hour.
Damn.
But
how do I get into that business?
They're accurate as fuck. Their website will claim they get you within 5 feet. I've never seen them miss it by more than 2 feet. And I mean, fuck, a Bobcat bucket's 2 feet wide.
Damn.
Yeah. And so we told the customer, you know, we'll just be the $89 service charge for today. And call American Leak Detection. Once they come out and pinpoint it, then once we know where it is, we'll be able to give you a price for it. Because the line went under a lot of hazards.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, if this leak is near this tree, that's a different price.
Yeah,
and
we
if
gotta
the leak
cut
is
that
out
tree
in the
down.
Field.
Yeah.
Right. And so so the guy paid the $89 and then he wanted to call in and complain. And he was like, you guys charged me $89 for nothing. It's like, no, we didn't charge $89 for nothing. Like,
Yeah, we drove out there and gave you good advice.
Right, and we pointed you in the right direction of like literally the best company in the area to detect the leak. And he says, well, you guys, your website says you do leak detection and you don't. No, we do. We just don't do sonar, and that's what you need. Like,
yeah,
we've got other ways to detect leaks inside your house.
Yeah.
It's just this is a rare one where we need sonar. And he goes, well, I feel misled. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. But like any company you bring out is going to have a service charge. And he goes, oh, yeah, that one you recommended, they want $500 plus $200 an hour.
Yeah, we told you that.
Yeah. He's like, that's crazy. I'm not paying that kind of money.
Then I guess your shit's going to leak, motherfucker.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, I don't think you're happy with any spending of any money. I think you're just going to run anybody you spend.
How about I refund your $89.99? Don't ever fucking call me. I've done that shit 100 times.
He's not gonna ever call us again. But I got some advice from a really successful business person one time that said, never refund money to somebody that's never going to call you again out of principle. They're already never going to call you again. And if you did the work and you did your process correctly, there's no reason they should get all of their money back. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And so I stood my ground on the 89. I'm like, dude, we told you it was 89 to show up. We didn't promise we were going to be able to get it fixed. We never promised we were going to find the leak definitively on that first visit.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, this is just crap. And I'm like, dude, what happens when you go to the doctor and they refer you to a specialist? Do you think that doctor's like, oh, I'm not going to charge
you. Here's your $400 back.
Right. The doctor still charges you. And he goes, this is apples to oranges. And I'm like, bullshit, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, this is literally the same thing. You needed specialty work that's outside of the realm of a normal plumbing group. And I said, American Leak Detection, they don't even do repairs. That's all they do is leaks. They're a specialist in leak detection.
Yeah.
So he goes, well, why didn't I call them from the beginning? I don't know. Why didn't you?
Maybe you fucking should have.
Yeah. But but
maybe you should have.
He referenced his comments in some way of that they're price gouging by charging $500 and $200 an hour to find the leak.
I'm not that business. What do you want me to do about it?
Well, anytime somebody says price gouging when all prices are disclosed up front, that's not price gouging. Mm-mm. Price gouging is when they have you over a barrel and you have no choice, and then they're like, pay up.
Yeah,
right?
That's price gouging.
And so what when you get the price gouging complaints, what that means is this person doesn't value tradespeople.
Yeah.
He thinks we aren't worth the $89 to come out and spend an hour walking his 800-foot water line looking for leaks. And we didn't charge him any excess diagnostic charges or anything. It was just the 89, and we'll get you a price once we know where it's leaking, right? He didn't think these guys were worth 500 bucks. Yeah. Now keep in mind, he lives on an estate with an 800-foot water line.
Yeah.
He's not broke.
No.
I'm not going to say he's wealthy. I'm not going to say he's smart with his money.
Wait till
But he has access to money for sure.
Wait till he gets a mini out there and hires someone to run it. Well, we're just going to dig it up and fucking find it ourselves.
Right.
Okay, bud. All right.
But he's a prime example of one of those people where we put boundaries in place. The boundaries are, if we were clear and honest and everything with our side, I'm not going to give you a refund just because you asked for it.
Yeah.
We also put the boundaries in place. Like I told him, I'm like, well, if you're literally taking our service charge and our best recommendation and you're like pissing all over it and saying that they're not worth the money. Well, I don't know how much you're expecting to get this leak fixed for, but like most plumbing companies have like a $3,000 minimum for excavation. And he's like, $3,000? That's fucking highway robbery. All right. Well,
good luck.
Good luck.
See you, bro.
I mean,
what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go find somebody on the back pages or whatever.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Pretty wild there. But ultimately, you'll piss more people off when you have boundaries. But let's be honest, they're going to get pissed off anyway. It's whether it's at you or somebody else or themselves or whatever. That's just how they live.
If you want to be wealthy, your circle's going to shrink.
Yeah.
You're going to piss people off. You're not going to hang out with broke people. Your circle's just going to shrink.
Yep.
So make the choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to be successful and wealthy?
Yeah.
And happy? Or do you want to have a lot of friends?
Yeah. And
like,
my dad always used to say these words that ring true in so many other areas. He would always say charity begins at home. And in other words, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Yeah.
In other words, like, don't go donating $100 to this charity, especially ones where only like 2% actually go to the real cause, when you're struggling to make your mortgage payment. And like charity begins at home. Make sure you're good first before you start giving out. Make sure you have surplus to give before you start giving it out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that it means more. If it's my last 100, it means more. And it's like, no, the 100 is the 100.
First off, it does mean more because you're giving everything you have. But you can't give to anyone else if you're giving that money away.
Right.
Okay?
Right. And you can't give to yourself. Right? It's no different than the airlines. You got to put the mask on you first before you tend to the people beside you and the toddlers beside you. In other words, if you ain't healthy and you ain't getting oxygen, how good a help are you going to be to those around you, right?
Yeah.
If you're not healthy in your boundaries and you're not healthy with your actions and you're not healthy with the boundaries that you set for like after 10 and before 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Guess who's getting called at 5 tomorrow?
Right.
Hey, buddy.
But like, if you don't set those boundaries, then you're just living a miserable life. And now you're indentured to your business and you're enslaved by your business and it becomes this grind and you hate it. And that's what causes burnout. Yeah. So those boundaries are super healthy. And to those guys that are feeling overwhelmed and overstressed, start putting a couple boundaries in place. Internally and externally. Internally, they would be disciplines. Externally, they're boundaries. Start putting a little boundaries in place and watch everything start to get a little bit better for you. You know, that whole situation with the BB gun thing, it turned out exactly like we thought it would. And Todd gets to be all mad and call the cops and waste the call to the cops and everything, and he gets to look like a fool. And meanwhile, we never got riled up. We never anything. And nothing ever happened and all that. I mean, it's just a case where he gets to look like an idiot and our boundaries kept us from arguing with an idiot.
Yep.
Right? Because you got to watch it. When you argue with an idiot, the bystanders can't tell the difference. They can't tell who's who. So you gotta watch out whenever.
That's good.
Whenever you're having those arguments.
What's the matter
so
with you? Wrap up the show, man.
That's all we got for this show. So a little bit weird of a topic with boundaries, but it's very important if you want to avoid burnout and be successful in the long run. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.